Welcome to a World of Good podcast. I'm Nate Tatman.
And I'm Andrew Gale.
And we are two friends
who love Jesus,
care about the church,
and travel the world to share stories of people who do the same.
Our conversations happen in all kinds of places,
like a coffee shop in an airport terminal,
or even the back of a crowded taxi.
But no matter where we go, from Argentina to Zimbabwe,
we capture stories of the good God is doing around the world.
And we hope those stories will do you a world of good. Welcome to A World of Good podcast. My name is Andrew Gale, and I am actually traveling right now and get to be in the wonderful country of Pakistan, where I have tried delicious food like biryani and drank wonderful chai. But most of all, I've gotten to meet some incredible, incredible people and visit the church and the work that the church is doing here. And one of those incredible people that I've gotten to meet is Razia Mushtaq. And Razia is a office administrator here at the Central Church in Karachi, Pakistan. And I invited her to come and just share some about her experience, the work she's doing, and the church here. So Razia, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Andrew Gill, for giving me a chance to talk about my country, about my culture, about the social issues, about my missionary work here in Pakistan. Thank you so much.
Well, I know that the people who listen to this podcast will enjoy hearing from you. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So before we jump in, can you just tell us about yourself? Tell us about your history, your faith journey, and what brings you here to the work that you're doing today?
Well, actually, I was very clear in my childhood since I was 10-year-old, I was, or 11-year-old. So I had a dream where I saw an open sky, and the large table, the dining table was all over there, and the disciples of Jesus Christ were eating and having food, but I could not see Jesus Christ himself. Some of them were calling my name, and they tried to let me join their food and their table. And I said, no, I am in a dirty and messy dress, so I cannot join your table. Because when I was a little child, I was very oppressed because of my family, because my mother and my father had 6 children.
Wow.
So I was the youngest one, and I was the person who was mostly ignored. So that is why in my dream, I also saw that I was hesitating. I was feeling hesitation to join them, that they were in very nice clothes, very nice dress, and they were having very delicious food in very expensive pots and pails. So I felt hesitation. Then suddenly I listened a voice, Razia, come here and join us. So I tried to pursue the voice, where he is. So one man came to me and said, he is Jesus and he is calling you.
Wow.
So then I realized that, oh my God, I have a call.
Wow.
But I could not share this, my dream, to my family member, because as I said that I was very neglected child in my family. Maybe it was the reason of our financial problems.
Sure.
So that is why I'm not blaming my parents. They were very loving. Yes, especially my father was very loving to me.
Yeah.
He also keep on saying me, my son, not the daughter. Yes. So when I got this vision or dream, so I realized that I am the called one.
Wow. So did you always want to serve in the church? I mean, from that young age?
Yes, I was studying in Roman Catholic Church.
Okay.
There was a school also in their campus. So I was very in hurry always every day to go to the church first.
Yeah.
School timing was 8:30, but I was used to go there at 8 p.m.
Oh, wow.
8 a.m.
Yeah.
So that I may spend some time in prayer and worship.
Wow. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So tell us about what you do here. So you're part of it's called the Philadelphia Pentecostal Church of Pakistan. And Philadelphia comes from the use of that city in Revelation.
Yes.
So Philadelphia Pentecostal Church of Pakistan. But you work here at the Central Church and work at the college. But you do a lot of different things. So tell us all the different things that you do here at the Central Church.
Oh, when I came here, I was not sure that is the place where I have to serve.
Oh, wow.
Because I belonged in my past to the Roman Catholic background.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I came here, I would not tell a lie, I will speak truth, that I came here for the cleaning work.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Because of financial issues,
yeah,
I could not pay the rent. So I had to leave my home, the rental home. So I decided to talk about it. My Pastor Samuel George,
He
said that I have a job, but I think you will not do it because it is not the caliber you want to do. I mean that you are an educated girl, so I think you will not. So I'm sorry, but I'm offering you to clean the church. Actually, I was hired here for dishwashing.
Oh, wow.
Yes, for cleaning the church. Yeah. And doing the dusting.
Yeah.
So I spent 2 years here.
Wow.
Doing this work.
Doing that kind of work, yes. Doing the cleaning work. Wow.
Yes. Still now, today, nobody knows that I'm teaching here.
Now you're teaching college students.
Yes. Wow. I'm teaching evening classes to the college, and my favorite subject, I'm teaching the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Yes. And beside of this, I'm also working in youth class.
Yeah. And I've got to join your youth class on Sunday.
Yeah.
It was such a fun experience. You in the after church, in the afternoon, you meet together for a couple hours.
Yes.
And talk about scripture. And you did skits while we were there.
Yes.
It was such a fun, it was such a fun experience.
Yeah. It is very difficult to motivate the youth.
Yeah.
So I have to spend approximately 3 to 4 hours with them,
yeah,
to make them enjoy, to make them learn. I give them freedom to make them clear, close to God,
yeah,
to close to Jesus.
Yeah, and I think that they showed an incredible love for one another and for the time. Like, they obviously really enjoy your teaching and the work that you're doing. So thanks for doing that. And there was probably, 15 or 20 youth that were there on that Sunday. I mean, it's a great group of students.
Yes.
So that's wonderful.
And let me please, if you give me some time,
I
thank you so much. I would like to tell about the youth age.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have seen that there are from the age of 13 to 25 and 24.
Yeah, that's really helpful because in the United States, our youth is like, we talk about youth being like 12 to 18 and that's it. But here it's a much wider range from 13 to, like you said, 24.
The reason is behind that because many of them do not go to church before coming in youth class.
Okay.
Right? So they didn't have any education about Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So I wanted them to learn more clearly, more from the basic knowledge.
Yeah.
So I didn't separate them because they are very good friend of each other.
Yeah.
So it was a challenge for me, but I'm enjoying that.
Yeah. Well, I love the diverse age group. I think it's really helpful, and it's great to see some of the older ones speak into the lives of the younger ones. And it was a really neat experience. So a question is, in the United States, we have men and women pastors. Can you as a female be a pastor here in Pakistan? Can you be ordained?
Can be, but not sure.
Okay.
Yes. Because of our Pakistani culture, the woman cannot go outside after 8 or 9 p.m.
Wow.
It is very difficult for the woman. Because of the environment, because of the culture.
Yeah.
Because we have to follow the majority culture.
Yeah.
Yes, that is why. So,
and I've heard that the Christians make up, they say, around 3 or 4% of the population in Pakistan. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're very much a minority compared to the majority.
Yes.
And so going out at nighttime, one of the things that I think Pastor George mentioned is that a big part of the pastoral role is doing visitations at nighttime if someone's sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a female, that's what makes that really complicated for you.
Yes.
So you can serve as a youth pastor and do that during the day, but to go and be a pastor where you would go and do visitations, that's where it gets complicated.
Yes, women do have many opportunities in Pakistani churches. They have many desks for doing their job. For counseling, they are very good.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. But I'm feeling very sad that women are not very encouraged about it. They just take their 1 year certificate, diploma, and then sometimes they preach and sometimes they do pray in the congregation, but not very encouraged to become a pastor or become a counselor, become a youth teacher or in teaching in the seminary.
Yeah.
They do not have any vision.
Yeah.
I'm very sad about it.
Yeah, that is very, very sad.
Yes.
I think it's really beautiful that what I hear from your youth is that you continue to encourage them to do that. I mean, every time you've been with them, I've heard you talk about how important education
yes.
is. Talk about more about why that's important. As a minority culture, do you have the same educational opportunities as the majority culture? Is it more difficult to get education?
No, no, not at all. I think they are not motivated
They're not motivated.
Their families, by their gathering. And
yeah.
because I do prefer to be a scholar,
yeah.
to have a PhD degree.
Yeah.
Yes. Because when I was very quite young, my father passed away and I could not carry on my study.
Wow.
And when I was traveling by the bus to the office, in that bus, many girls were wearing the college uniform and they were holding their bags. And I always see them and I always feel sad. Mm. Sometime I wept to see them that it is my age to go to college, but now I am earning the food for my family.
Wow. So because you were the youngest, when your father passed away, you were expected to kind of make the money for your family rather than go to school.
Yes.
Wow.
So I think that is why I always encourage to the young people to get knowledge, to get education. Because in Pakistan, we cannot have a good opportunity, even if we are very well educated.
Yeah.
It is not very, very simple to have a job here.
For anyone or for Christians?
For minority only.
For minority, yeah.
Yes.
So for Christians, you have to have even more education than your Muslim counterparts to get the same job, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's a much more complicated situation.
Yes. So what if someone is not even 10th grade pass?
Yeah.
So what will he do or she will do?
Yeah.
Yes. It is very difficult to earn the money, to earn the bread.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you were the breadwinner for your family for a time.
Yes, for a time.
But you've gone back now and done some schooling, right?
Yes,
and finished some schooling. You mentioned earlier you're excited about going to get a PhD someday.
Yes.
What does your family think about your pursuing education?
I was the ATM machine. That was stolen by my church. They are not very much happy.
Oh.
Yes.
And is that because it's just outside of the norm? It's not normal?
Yes, yes. It is a norm. Because last night when you were present here, I was talking about this issue that parents do not encourage the girls to go to seminary because they say, what will you do in the church after your seminary? You are not going to be ordained.
Mm.
So what will you do? So the same thinking my mother, my sister and my brothers and my sister-in-laws has.
Yeah.
That what will you doing?
What will you do with it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was wonderful. Razia was in charge of the entire service last night, the program. We are sitting in the lobby of the church so we can hear an airplane going up above. But she was in charge of the entire program for the graduation of the students.
Yes.
It was such a fun evening of music. It started around 8 o'clock with an outdoor service with lights and a full band and choir and food afterwards. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really beautiful experience where you commissioned five people to go and serve in the church and then graduated a good number of students that graduated as well.
Yes.
What a fun experience.
Thank you.
So you've talked about how difficult it is to serve in the church as a woman, you know, that you can serve, but there's challenges with it. So can I ask, why do you still serve in the church?
I love challenge.
You don't back down. You go for a challenge.
I have to move on.
Yeah.
I cannot bind myself in the hurdles, in the family problems. I am born to serve Jesus Christ only.
Amen.
Yes. So nobody can stop me.
I believe that. I believe that. So you talked about youth and you talked about the challenges that women face. What are some of the challenges that your youth face? What are some of the social pressures that people face in Pakistan?
Youth is very neglected in the churches and first of all in their homes.
Mm.
So, because our culture do not pressurize to the parents to have only 2 kids.
Oh, okay.
They have many.
Yeah.
So, they do not feed them properly. Mm. They do not give them the good things they do want. And that is why they are very neglected in their family. Just as I told about myself.
Yeah.
I told that I had some problems in my childhood.
Yeah.
So the same issues are present in our culture here in Pakistan.
That was one of the things I noticed with the youth. You actually are doing a skit about kind of child abuse and neglect to kind of help parents be aware, to kind of make that, take away the stigma and have a conversation about that.
Yes, because child abuse is very much here.
Yeah.
Yes, it is in numbers. And many cases are hidden, many cases are not reported. But we do know from the social media.
Yeah.
Yes. So I would say that behind this, there is one reason that parents are very neglected.
Yeah.
Their children.
Yeah.
So they do not have any knowledge how to raise a children.
Yeah.
Yes. Not especially the physical abuse is going here, but also the emotional abuse is very much higher in the families.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Now, as a minority culture, you've also talked about young girls and the challenges that they face. Can you talk about some of that with us? Like, what are some challenges that young girls face, especially pressures to get married and what that means as a minority?
Mm. If she is the firstborn or the secondborn even, you can say that after her, the male child is born, then she has to look after her brother till he is able to earn the money.
Wow.
So she has to go even... Don't worry, it doesn't mean that she is not able to do that. She's underage. The parents pressurize her to go and earn the money because the son is little. The son is young. So many girls are here present in Christianity especially. They are earning their food for, they're waiting for their brother to grow up and bring the food for home.
Even if they're really young?
Yes.
Wow.
And they see there the majority religion where they do the job. So it is the reason that they, especially they convert in Islam.
Okay.
Yes.
So talk about
because
that.
Because of the pressure of the family, poverty, negligence, and they are ignored one. So this.
So you see young girls that are converting to Islam at high numbers.
Yes. And behind them, behind the reason is their parents.
Wow.
Their brothers.
Yeah, because they're expected to make money. And because the majority culture tends to make more money than Christians do, it seems like a good move for the family if you have one of your girls convert and get married into a Muslim family.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. That would be a very difficult thing.
Yes.
How does the church respond to that?
Church cannot do anything until their parents are here. Church is preaching.
Yeah.
Church, I can say that we have here the youth platform, we have here the Sunday school ministry, we have here the seminary, but they are not sending their children. So what can we do?
Yeah. So you have to encourage those parents to get their kids involved.
Yes.
Wow. Well, you mentioned the seminary. Can you tell us a little about George Theological Seminary, what programs you offer and the kinds of students that you have?
We have program for 1 year certificate.
Okay.
And 2 year diploma and 3 year diploma. And also we are in future having BTH degree, MDiv degree. Yes. So.
Wow. So there's a lot of degrees. How many students are a part of the school?
I think it's above 35.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. And you graduated a number of them, some of them last night, but a lot of them still go through MDiv. Is it primarily done online? Is it in person? Is it both?
Not online right now, but we are planning to do it.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. That's awesome. What do you want to do in the future? What visions do you have for where your life is going or where the life of this church is going?
I think my vision is all about my church because I want to do PhD in theology and or in Old Testament so that I can come here back in my country to my children who are waiting for the principal.
Yes.
Because we do not have PhD holder here.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was the only girl who went to do her BTH and MDiv.
Okay, so you have a BTH and an MDiv.
Yes.
From here in Karachi?
Yes, from St. Thomas Theological College. It is situated in Karachi.
Okay.
Yes.
And so then now you want to move on and get your PhD so you can come back and be... Because you have to have a PhD... Someone with a PhD in order to kind of have a level of school that you want to have.
Yes.
That's wonderful. What interests you about the Old Testament? Why the Old Testament?
Oh, I love the prophetic era. I love Isaiah.
Okay.
Yes. But I'm very big fan of Ezra.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
The priest Ezra.
Yeah. What about anything specific that you love about Ezra?
Yeah. He was very young when he... Actually, he was a lover of Torah.
Yes.
All the his contemporaries were complaining God in Babylon, and all were spending their lives to forward in... to pursue the girls of Babylonian,
yes.
Right? And idol worship. But he was the only person, I think, in my mind, that he was the only person in his young age who searched or seek about the Torah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
In Babylon, in the captivity.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's cool. That's wonderful. I love that. I love that. Razia, one of the questions we try to ask every time we meet with someone is, you know, the name of our podcast is A World of Good, and the whole intent was that we would travel and sit in places like this, in churches with people and have conversations and hear about stories of things that are happening, and the things you have shared today already have just been phenomenal. It gives us so much as a church in the United States for us to be praying for you, for the youth that you serve, for the girls, for the families that they're
yes.
a part of. There's so much for us to be in prayer about. Can you tell us one more story? So the question we ask is, what good is God doing in your world? And so can you tell us one more story about the good that God is doing here in your world in Pakistan?
In Pakistan, can I talk about my church?
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you so much. I think the good God is doing in my church world is that the girls are coming to the seminary.
Yeah.
The girls are more and encouraged. I don't know if I am the inspiration of them to
I
them.
I think you probably are.
But I'm very, it is very strange thing that is happening in my church.
Yeah.
Because only we had two or three females who completed their studies, 1 year diploma or 2 year diploma, then after. Now many girls are coming to the seminary.
Wow.
And it is a very good thing for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
I see that as a passion for you. You want to see more and more girls empowered to come to the school.
Why not? The prophecy of Joel, how can it be completed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that girls getting educated in Pakistan will totally change the country.
It will be.
Yeah.
Yes, it can be.
That's awesome. Well, we'll be praying that that continues.
Thank you so much
for sharing with us. Thanks for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Love from Pakistan.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter, at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.